Hello.
How's it going? Welcome to the Heights Boom Boom Room Podcast, Episode 3. Sorry for leaving you hanging. It's been a long time since we've done an installment of this podcast here. Originally I wanted to do it with my childhood friend, who also had his own very successful podcast, but when I got around him, I just got enthralled just to be around him, that it just never came into fruition. And then I had some stuff going on, health stuff, but all that's clear now. I don't have a guest, but I wanted to talk about some stuff, especially this PS5 Pro announcement. The specs just came out, the price just came out. Also, if you hear noise, you gotta excuse that. I live in the Bronx, man. What can you do? So yeah, you know, what's the opposite of heavily anticipated? Whatever the opposite of heavily anticipated, the not really wanted, the unnecessarily, but we're still getting it, arrival of the PS5 Pro. It's ever since the idea has been tossed around, everybody's been kind of hum-ho about its existence or even its potential arrival, because, you know, nobody really sees the need for it for a myriad of reasons. We'll touch on that later. But, you know, we finally got a look at pretty much what we expect here in terms of design. That little reveal here, there's, like, you know, obviously it's slimmer. I think there's like a bit of a difference. The fans are on the top, on the outside. You can actually along the LED light on the front of it. If you're watching on video right now, I'm playing the trailer, the minute and 4 second trailer that they put out for this. So yeah, as far as details, $699, disk drive not included, that is an extra $70, maybe $80. I could have that mixed up here. So no disk drive, really pushing that digital future. Of course, you know, they pulled the same thing with the PS5 coming out with a disk version and a digital version, you know, kind of giving people a clue on where we're trying to head in the direction of, at least on Sony's half. This is coming out November 7th of this year, 2024, marketed as the most powerful console PlayStation has ever made. I mean, you would hope so, unless you were going a Xbox Series S route, which, you know, a few years into its life cycle, we're starting to question why that exists. So luckily that's not the case here. They say it is 45% faster than the PS5, PSSR, upscaling support, better ray tracing, better GPU, older games will run better, Hogwarts Legacy, Spider-Man 2, GT7, and more, and it has 2 terabyte SSD. As far as the GPU, if I remember correctly, I could be wrong. Let's just go to PlayStation blog. S5 Pro to check on how they really quantify this GPU, this improved GPU. With PS5 Pro, we are upgrading to a GPU that has 67% more compute units than the current PS5 console, and 28% faster memory. Overall, this enables up to 45% faster rendering for gameplay, making the experience much smoother. I also saw somewhere, this could be completely incorrect, that we will get like a fidelity graphical experience with the performance mode 60 frames per second lock-in. I believe I saw that floating around somewhere on Twitter. Advanced ray tracing, we've added even more support. Ray tracing that provides more dynamic reflections and refraction of light. This allows the rays to be cast at double and at triple the speeds of the current PS5 console. AI-driven upscaling We're also introducing PS5 Spectral Super Resolution, an AI-driven upscale that uses machine learning-based technology to provide super sharp image clarity by adding an extraordinary amount of detail. And you can imagine the response to this, just a smattering of applause on Twitter. Everybody pretty much had their memes ready, their outrage ready. I saw somebody even call this on X. I can't believe I just called it X. I should be flagged for calling that social media. Is it even a platform anymore? That 2000s, that 4chan forum that we call Twitter, that we used to call Twitter. I should not be calling it X. It should never come out of my mouth anyway. Let me go back to the, sorry about that. Yeah, so nobody's looking forward to this thing. Like I was saying, even when it became a thought in everybody's head, the PS5 has only been around for about 4 years, 5 years, something like that. The library is not as robust as, you know, some others, namely the Nintendo Switch, which frankly, thematically speaking, this entire podcast is going to be like a PlayStation Nintendo differences and kind of thematical thing going on. The PS5 itself, it was a whole scarcity thing during 2020 that rubbed people in the wrong way, and it was just way too expensive on the resale market, let alone the $499 markup with the disc tray. It was $100 less digital. It was just indicative, even though we didn't know it at the time, the difference between Western and Japanese industries. And Sony, even now, this falls in line with the failure of one of their hero titles. I'm sure you guys already know it's made history. Not, I was going to say it's notorious, but it's actually infamy at this point. It's just, I don't get it, man. I don't know what's going on. This is truly, nobody's buying this shit. Who's going to buy this? It's going to be like in the tech space, people who buy foldable phones for no reason, just to say they have it, just because they have to be super cutting edge. But logically speaking, I feel like gamers, you have to, like, if you're a gamer, being a gamer nowadays is indicative of being a frugal consumer. Like, to be a gamer, you have to research your products, and you do research your products, and it has become part of the culture of being a gamer is just to know as much information about the title you're interested in as possible. And some of it is because of sheer obsession and because of just all the information that comes out about games and titles on the internet. But also because you can't trust a product to be a finished product once it arrives and it is in your console and you're playing it. Far too many times throughout history have we paid $60, now $70, for a game, AAA game, and then we get it, and then it plays like shit, and you need an update that's either day one or 2 weeks from now from release date, and you who's trying to live like that? That's the culture Sony has pushed onto us. That's the culture Microsoft has pushed onto us. These Western companies make it this way. Trust me. Nintendo goes through it too, but not to the, it's like part of the culture almost. With Nintendo, it's, look at that. Very. So, like I was saying, a myriad of reasons. Those are just a few. Talking about the library. Doesn't really hit. Sony was just saying a couple of days ago, maybe even a week ago, they don't have as many first-party titles at its disposal, and that it's a real challenge for them. And it's like, Sony, do you know how many opportunities, how many chances? Like, I remember talking to my friend about this, how like each console had a mascot, and he was like, what was Sony's mascot for the PlayStation? I was like, it was Crash Bandicoot, bro. And then they fumbled Crash Bandicoot, and then it was Kratos for a second, and then it was Nathan Drake, and now it's probably about to be Astrobot. And Astrobot is taking off because it's actually a break from the typical Sony approach of, like, expense, graphics, developmental hell for 7 to 10 years, and then the game drops. It was a smaller scale game. It's not indie. It feels like a double A title, like the titles we used to get in the 90s and the 2000s. And I mean that in the sense of you're not waiting a billion years for the game to release because it has to look photorealistic. This is like a kiddie game. It has an art direction. I'm telling you, an art direction can take you a long way, man. I don't need to see the great outdoors in a square box on my flat screen, in a square aspect ratio on my flat screen. I just go outside if I want to see photorealistic people. Like, I saw this also on Twitter. Thank God, I thought I said X for a second. I almost punched myself in the face off a reflex. But I saw on Twitter, I think, you know, I'm just doom scrolling. I put a screen limit on my shit, and I'm still going over it. It's sad. So I'm not sure which app I saw it on. But they were like, damn, everybody's chasing photorealism and just realism in general. And people forgot that people just want to game and have fun. And I resonated with that so much because, yeah, gaming is turned into a chore, man. Even in terms of, like, not it just making them, but, like, playing them and completing them. Because you see, like, because games take so long to come out and they're so expensive, you know, these publishers, they're like, we have to stuff these games with as much content as possible because people out here are only buying games 4 or 5 times a year. Maybe even including when games go on sale, maybe even including games not from this calendar release year. So they're like, we have to make sure that they can put in 100+ hours, over 100 hours in this title. And it doesn't have to be meaningful content. It can just be pure fluff. And that comes in the form of just collectibles. That comes in the form of, you know, what other cheap gimmick can I think of? Achievements. You know, they just find ways for you to replay it instead of, like, making a game that inspires replayability. Like, I think the last PlayStation game that really did that for me was Spider-Man, and not even Spider-Man 2. Maybe Spider-Man Miles Morales as well. And, you know, but that's another problem. That takes a long time for it to come out, and it's, you can't, like, lean on the two publishers that you lean on all the time to make hits, which is Insomnia and Naughty Dog. Like, those are the two. And it takes too long for those games to come out, man. The business model is fucked up, is what I'm getting at, folks. The business model, in and out. And on a developmental level, on a playability level, and Astrobot is like a breath of fresh air in regards to that. It's has the replayability, as far as I know. I'm not buying that shit until it goes on sale. There's just too many games coming out during the tembers of month of, well, not tembers, but the burrs, you know, September, October, November, December. There's too many games coming out in these last few months for me. I'm one of those nowadays. I'm buying like 3 or 4 games a year, not including, or maybe even including games from the prior year. And, you know, Astrobot was one of the games when it was showcased during the State of Play that I said looked the most fun. This is also where Concord was introduced. We'll get to that later. I gotta buy Dead Rising Remaster. I gotta see if this new Black Ops is worth buying, if they can put a handle on the pathetic, horrific bot aim assist cheaters out there. Like, how are you doing that in a beta, bro? Like, are you for real? You're a fucking loser. That's why, like, a gamer, man, I'm glad I renounced that title a decade ago. I don't want to be associated with you people. And, like, you can see the political decline in the West, just looking at, like, how we handle politics. But I gotta tell you, the shit started in gaming first, and then it trickled, I don't know, down, I guess. It trickled down from, like, the most menial of things. It finally pooled at like the most important thing in the United States, which is politics. I'm telling you, like the rot started in the gaming spectrum first. Anyway, what was I talking about? I don't. This shit is reminding me of Bill Burr just in a room ranting, and I'm kind of digging it. Anyway, what were we talking about? Oh yeah. We were talking about Astrobot. So I haven't played it, but I heard it's really great. I heard it's Game of the Year contender. And I heard it's very fun. It has that art direction I was talking about. It's a platformer. And it's charming. And it celebrates PlayStation as it enters, I think, year 30. I believe. Is it year 25, year 30? It celebrates all those original IPs. Like it celebrates Ape Escape, it celebrates God of War, it celebrates all of the overarching PlayStation mythology, the list of titles, first person titles that you come to love over the years. So not only is it a great introductory point, it's a celebration for the old heads, for the unks like myself. And yeah, I can't wait to get my hands on it. But yeah, that in comparison to that, that's the direction it should go. The development team was really small, and then you get to Concord, which just shut down its servers after 2 weeks, maybe less than 2 weeks. It launched in August 23. This is I'm going to read this here about the shutdown of this game on Variety. Let's switch over to Variety real quick. Was that Brenda Song? I love Brenda Song. Shout out Macaulay Culkin. PlayStation will be taking its new Firewalk-developed live service game Concord offline this Friday and issuing refunds to players just 2 weeks after its August 23 launch. The team-based first-person shooter game is reported to have drawn a historically small audience during its initial availability across PlayStation 5 and PC, with third-party PC-based gaming battle website SteamDB showing 30 current in-game players at the time of publication on Tuesday. And these are all motherfuckers just trying to get the platinum trophies so that they can say they have it before the game vanishes from the face of the planet. And what they're doing actually in the game are leaping off. The fastest person to kill themselves wins, because that's the fastest way that you can stack up points in order to get the achievement and yada yada. It's really hilarious and sad at the same time, especially if you are this developmental team, Firewalk. This shit took 7 years, I believe. At the peak of its short history, Concord had not even 700, 697 concurrent players, drastically low for a PlayStation new release and ranked towards the bottom of PlayStation's weekly sales charts. In Concord, which has largely been compared to popular multiverse shooter Overwatch, players assemble a crew of free gunner space outlaws from the spacecraft North Star for online games between two teams of five members each. With so few people playing Concord, matchup availability became very difficult to come by during gameplay. Concord fans, we've been listening closely to your feedback since the launch of Concord on PlayStation 5 and PC, and want to thank everyone who has joined the journey aboard the North Star. Firewalk Studios game director Ryan Ellis wrote in a blog post published by PlayStation Tuesday, "Your support and the passionate community has grown around the game has meant the world to us. However, while many qualities of the experience resonated with players, we also recognize that other aspects of the game in our initial launch didn't land the way we intended. Therefore, at this time, we have decided to take the game offline beginning September 6, 2024, and explore options, including those that will better reach our players. While we determine the best path ahead, concourse sales will cease immediately, and we will begin to offer a full refund for all gamers who have purchased the game for PS5 or PC. So, yeah, that's the case here. That's what's going on. It's unfortunate, because it took so long, I think about 7 years, to develop, and it shut down in 2 weeks. And it's like all of those resources. It was a large developmental team, too. All that resource, all that developmental, all those bad practices just coming to bite you in the ass. And not to mention, it was a hero-type game, and it was $50. And no matter how much it was, you had to pay for it. All of these games are free-to-play. Stop it, PlayStation. What is wrong with you? So, yeah. And, you know, everybody is comparing Astrobot to Nintendo's games. Primarily the Mario Galaxy games. We're calling it the unofficial third game in the series. And those are how those games are published, with a small team focused on fun, art direction, not chasing the graphic wars. And it's like, yeah. And that leads me to whenever the Nintendo Switch 2 gets announced, how that reaction is going to look in comparison to this PS5 Pro announcement. Because on the flip side of consoles, the heavily anticipated Nintendo Switch 2 is heavily anticipated. People are dying to hear about this, and we will hear about this in a few months before 2024 is up. I believe that's what they said. It's to the point where whenever they have a direct, they have to say, please don't expect any news about the Nintendo Switch 2, because I know that's what, or it's like Grand Theft Auto 6, right? And then Nintendo Switch 2, as far as people's hype, gamers' hype levels for these shits, it's insane. So, you know, and this is why people are anticipating it, all right? First of all, the Nintendo Switch came out in 2017. It was $300, right? And then the Lite came out for in 2019 for $200, and then the OLED came out in 2021 for $350, and it's a reasonable life cycle. The library is robust, like to the point of bloat, actually. Like it's a double-edged sword how many titles on the Nintendo Switch. The games that you're able to play on the Nintendo Switch, just the sheer amount of games that you can play that are portable, you know what I mean? Like, you can play The Witcher 3 on the Nintendo Switch. It doesn't look as great, but now that you have that next-gen update, and they were able to fit the next-gen update on the Nintendo Switch, it looks way better than it has any right to be. Like, I can't wait till the Nintendo Switch 2 comes out, because that's when I'm buying The Witcher 3. Just to see how it plays on that motherfucker. And I'm starting my journey again. I have so many hours in that shit. That's one of the games from like generations ago that I still have not finished. It's because I started on PS5 and then I got it on PC, and then I started playing it again on PC. Like, thank goodness the saves cross over. I was almost sick to my stomach. And then I stopped playing then, and now, because I was like, oh, I'm getting sucked in again, because I just got finished playing Baldur's Gate 3, which sucked me in, and I promised myself that I wouldn't be starting a second playthrough of that until I get a laptop or a MacBook or whatever new MacBook comes out that's able to play that shit smoothly. I know M2s can play it out, especially if it's tricked out, and M3s are, you know, an even better bet, but I'm just going to wait it out. Maybe I'll get the M3 when it's on the low. I don't know. That's neither here nor there. Anyway, the Nintendo Switch 2, man. So many titles. lately that have come out for it feel like it's being held back by the hardware, and rightfully so. That shit is like a mobile, what is that? Is it? I think it's a, like an ARM, right? The Tegra Switch, right? Yeah, the NVIDIA Tegra X1 GPU. Like, there's like the like iPhones are stronger than this shit at this point. And those shits don't even run it well. Like, whatever Nintendo did with that shit, man. And now they're talking about having PS4 fidelity. And that's really all you really need for this shit. Like, nobody is chasing graphics. Like, Nintendo 4 graphics are so reasonable, bro. Especially if I could bring that shit on the go with me handheld. Especially if we're doing DLSS. Like, are you kidding me? All that shit sounds amazing. Like, nobody is chasing these graphical hardware updates unless you are a PC guy. Unless you got one of these things here, baby. Unless you got the fucking RGBs going. Nobody is giving a fuck about the hardware behind the glass, behind the games. Nobody gives a fuck anymore, man. I promise you. Especially console people. They just want to play. They just want games, man. They just want availability. And I think that's the other reason why the Switch 2 hasn't come out yet. Because when it arrives, they want to make sure they have enough units. Like, the same thing that happened to the PS5 upon release was going on with the Nintendo Switch. And it had already been here for 3 years at that point. Just the parts were just being delayed to manufacture these things, and that's terrible for the release of a new console. So they just want to make sure they don't run into that shit again, even though we're not going through that manufacturing problem anymore. And I commend that shit. Like, they're not blowing their load on this. The Switch is 7 years old now, I think. It's the only console you ever need. If you have a PC, it's the only console you need. Sure, you gotta wait a long time to play first party PlayStation games. Sure, like Ragnarok is just now coming out this year, and I haven't played it. I don't miss it. I haven't got spoiled anything on Ragnarok. Fuck it. Seriously, the only reason I have a PS5, number one, is because I got it for the cheapest you could possibly get a PS5 for. Which was last year during Black Friday. I think the shit was $350. If I remember correctly, I got this shit for like $350. $350, bro. And because I knew I was getting a review copy of Final Fantasy VII Rebirth, and I had to play that, and that shit is still my game of the year. Anything else I want to talk about? I don't think so. I think I've aired my grievances, right? Anything else to talk about in the game sphere? I think I touched on everything, right? Astrobot, Concord, PS5, Nintendo Switch. Yeah, so that's the theme. Everybody needs to be taking a page out of Nintendo's book right now. These Western developmental industry practices are crumbling this very fine industry in itself that I love so much. It's a shame, man. You know, real quick, I do want to talk about the games I want to get that are on my wish list. So this Black Myth Wukong shit, I'm gonna wait until that's on sale. I some weird gamer shit going on with that shit too. Controversies. Gotta tell you, I don't know what it's going on about. I don't really know what the problem is, but it's keeping me away from playing the game. And it just is. But I will check it out whenever it goes on sale. Same thing for this Space Marine 2 thing, this Warhammer shit. I'm not a Warhammer fan. I don't know anything about it, but it looks like Gears of War. I love Gears of War. And I plan on checking that out when it goes on sale. Like I said, I'm buying Dead Rising on arrival. I'm probably buying Silent Hill 2 on arrival, which is unfortunate because that's a $70 game. I tend to try and steer away from the $70 games. The only game I bought this year that was $70 was Stellar Blade, and I haven't even finished that shit. What else is coming out that I'm trying to play? This Astrobot joint, when that goes on sale, which will probably, that's probably not going on sale until Christmas time, which is fine. What else? Black Ops, this new Black Ops. But like I was saying earlier, I just got to see what the reviewers say about that. I know the beta is looking all right. It's kind of mixed. I saw some people saying it's like one of the best ones since Modern Warfare 2. And I'm seeing other people saying that this cheating shit is turning them off. So we'll see where we land on that. Is there another game that I'm thinking of? Let me see real quick. Steam. That might be it. Wishlist. I think that's it. Yeah, Black Myth Wukong. Oh yeah, I'm waiting for WWE 2K24 to go on sale. I mean, it's on sale right now. 50% off. Interesting. Probably not still. And for some morbid reason, I want to see what this Dune Awakening shit is about. They already fucking it up. They got guns and shit. Well, Atreides don't exist. This is an alternate reality. Who gives a fuck? Alright, so that's the Boom Boom Room. About 30 minutes. That's about as much as I wanted to do. Let me go do my duty. I took a nap. I woke up too early. Now I gotta catch up to the rest of my day instead of starting it when I woke up. But, you know, whatever. We'll be back for some more industry nonsense in the next episode. I'll probably be by myself talking to the void. All right. Peace, y'all.